You might think that once you've sort of got the hang of how things spread out, diffuse in like our normal three dimensions, that jumping to an infinite number of dimensions would just be, I don't know, a slightly more complicated version.
Right, just scale it up.
Exactly. But turns out it's a completely different puzzle. The intuitions we build, in our everyday finite world often just don't hold up when we go infinite.
No, they really don't.
Okay, let's unpack why this leap is so mind-bending.
What's truly fascinating here, I think, is that this move from finite to infinite dimensions isn't just a quantitative change, it's qualitative.
Qualitative, how so?
Well, in the finite world, we have this fantastic toolkit, analytical methods to understand how solutions behave, how smooth they are, things like that.
Right, the standard math.
But when we step into the infinite, especially with these diffusion processes you see in, say, mathematical physics, many of them inherently lack that smoothness. So the analytical approaches we rely on, they often just don't exist in a general sense. It forces us to find, well, entirely new ways to tackle these problems.
Exactly, which is why we were taking this deep dive today. We've got a collection of research focusing on something called the regularity properties of solutions to some seriously complex equations, stochastic differential equations, SDEs, basically equations with randomness baked in, and their close relatives, parabolic and elliptic partial differential equations, PDEs. And the real kicker, we're looking at these in infinite dimensions. And just to make it even more interesting, in what they call degenerate cases. So this is where math gets really wild.
It is indeed. We've brought together different pieces of research, and each one explores, a different angle of this really intricate mathematical landscape.
Okay.
And our goal really is to navigate through all the dense equations and theorems to answer a pretty fundamental question. What are the conditions where solutions to these equations even appear?
Do they even exist?
And if they do, is there just one solution? Uniqueness.
Crucial.
And perhaps most crucially, for understanding how these systems behave in practice, do these solutions have a certain smoothness? That's what mathematicians call regularity.
Smoothness, like how well behaved they are.
Exactly. Understanding the smoothness tells us a lot about how predictable these systems might be.
Think of this as your shortcut, then, to understanding some really cutting-edge ideas in mathematical analysis. And it's not just abstract theory, right?
Oh, definitely not.
It has implications in all sorts of areas, from, I don't know, fundamental mathematical physics to potentially even how we model really complex systems where randomness is key.
Absolutely.
So with this huge infinite dimensional challenge, where do we even begin to make sense of it?
Well, the very first point our sources hammer home is this core difficulty of working in infinite dimensions.
Okay.
Unlike the finite setting, where we often have the strong analytical structure for regularity, the infinite dimensional world is just much trickier. Many of these infinite dimensional diffusion semigroups, and you can think of a semigroup as like a mathematical way to describe how probability spreads over time.
Like ink and water.
Exactly, like ink spreading in water, they often simply don't have those natural smoothing properties that make analysis easier in finite dimensions. It's like trying to iron a crumpled piece of paper, but the paper itself keeps sort of spontaneously wrinkling.
So it's like we lose some of that inherent niceness of the solutions when we go infinite.
Precisely. However, our sources then go on to show that in specific but very important situations, we can still figure out a lot about these solutions.
Okay, there's hope.
There is, and often the key is to really embrace the randomness in the equations. In other words, to use stochastic methods.
Okay, so in some cases, the standard analytical tools aren't enough, and we need to bring in the math of probability and randomness. That sounds a bit paradoxical, but also really intriguing.
It does, yeah.
So what kind of specific situations are we talking about where this stochastic approach helps?
Well, one significant area that's highlighted is the study of Ginzburg-Landau class reaction diffusion systems.
Okay, that's a mouthful. Reaction diffusion.
These are models that describe how things like temperature or chemical concentration change over space and time, but also undergo some kind of reaction.
Got it.
And our sources focus on these systems when they're also being constantly affected by random fluctuations, like tiny, unpredictable jiggles happening everywhere
Okay.
within a well-behaved, limited region in space, usually not more than three dimensions for this part of the analysis.
So, like if you had a chemical reaction in a beaker, but there were also random little disturbances constantly shaking things up a bit.
That's a great way to think about it, yeah. And the research presents this system of equations. It's called equation 6 in the sources.
Okay.
That mathematically describes how these quantities change over time. That's the time derivative.
Yeah.
How they vary across space, the spatial derivatives.
Right.
What happens because of the reaction between them, and then that crucial space-time white noise, which represents those continuous random jitters happening everywhere all the time.
And what about this reaction part? Is that simple?
Initially, in the early parts of the research, this reaction term called F is assumed to have a property called Lipschitz continuity.
Lipschitz continuity.
Mm.
What does that mean roughly?
Essentially, it's a way of saying the reaction rate can't change too abruptly. It keeps things somewhat, let's say, well-behaved.
Okay, predictable changes.
Kind of. But what's interesting is that later on, the analysis is extended to situations where F can grow faster, like a polynomial.
Ah, so more complex reaction.
Exactly. It allows for more complex and potentially faster interactions within the system.
That makes sense. You start simpler, build understanding, then add complexity. Now, you mentioned these systems are influenced by random terms. How does that link back to the SDEs? The stochastic differential equations we started with.
Ah, this is a really key connection. The diffusion operator, called CEOLS in our sources,
right,
which governs how things spread out spatially in that reaction diffusion system,
okay,
is directly linked to a specific SDE equation, 1.2.1, and that SDE is driven by standard d-dimensional Brownian motion.
Brownian motion, that's the fundamental random jiggle, right?
That's the one, the basic building block of many random processes in math.
Ah, so the SDE is like the underlying random engine that's powering the unpredictable part of the reaction diffusion system.
Precisely. And a major goal of the research here is to demonstrate that this SDE actually has a unique solution.
Which sounds pretty fundamental.
Absolutely, because if you don't have a well-defined solution, then trying to understand its properties, like smoothness, is kind of meaningless, right?
Yeah, you can't talk about the smoothness of something that doesn't exist or isn't nailed down.
Exactly.
And how do they actually prove that a unique solution exists? That sounds like some heavy mathematical lifting.
It is. The sources touch on some techniques. One approach uses approximating functions labeled AND. These are simpler functions that get closer and closer to the real solution. Okay.
They also use ideas about dissipativity, like the system tending to settle down.
Right.
And something called Uceda approximations, which is a way to approximate difficult mathematical operators with nicer bounded ones.
Okay. So it's a strategy of approaching the real complicated solution using things that are easier to handle step by step. Makes sense. Now, we keep coming back to this idea of regularity. What exactly are we looking at there?
Regularity in this context is often about how smooth the solution is. One important aspect they discuss is the mean square differentiability of the SDE's solution written ADST with respect to its starting point, X.
Okay, so how sensitive is the outcome to where you start?
Essentially, yeah. If you make a tiny change to the starting point, how does the solution change on average? And is that change well-behaved?
And do they find concrete results about this?
Yes, they do. There's theorem 1.3.6, which is key. It says that under certain conditions labeled 1.1 and 1.2,
mm-hmm,
the solution is H times mean square differentiable. H represents a certain level of smoothness.
And importantly, the theorem gives bounds inequality, 1.3.17, on how large these derivatives can be.
Ah, so they exist and they don't blow up.
Precisely. It tells us they exist in a well-defined average sense and they stay controlled. It's a form of predictable smoothness.
So not just smooth vaguely, but smooth in a way we can actually put mathematical limits on.
Exactly. And what's quite elegant, I think, is that these derivatives of the solution denoted Ixtx, they themselves satisfy related SDEs, equation 3.2.1.
Oh, interesting.
So the property of being described by an SDE gets passed down to the derivatives. That's really useful for analyzing even higher levels of regularity.
It's like the smoothness is a fundamental property that extends to how the solution changes.
Hmm.
Now, you mentioned SDEs are connected to parabolic and elliptic PDEs.
Yeah.
How does regularity look for those equations?
Right. So the sources introduce a parabolic problem, 1.0.4, and an elliptic problem, 1.0.3. Both involve the diffusion operator L0 related to C0, plus conditions on the boundaries and the initial state. And under certain conditions, the research shows a unique solution exists for both.
Good.
And for the parabolic case, which often describes time evolution, this solution even has derivatives that are Holder continuous.
Holder continuous, another flavor of smooth.
Yes, it's a specific way to quantify continuity. It's stronger than just plain continuity. The fact that derivatives have this property gives us a really strong mathematical grip on how smooth the solution is.
And how do these PDE solutions relate back to the SDE solutions? It sounds like different views of the same thing.
They're very closely linked through the diffusion semigroup, which we mentioned, often called PAT.
Right, the evolution operator.
Exactly. Solutions to these PDEs can often be expressed using this semigroup, PAT, acting on the initial data. It takes the initial state and evolves it forward according to the underlying diffusion process. It connects the probability world of SDEs to the more deterministic PDE world.
That sounds like a really powerful unifying idea. Now, you also mentioned sometimes this QQ thing isn't assumed to be trace class. What's the significance there? It sounds technical.
It is a bit technical, but it's important for how general the results are. QQ relates to the, let's say, structure and strength of the noise term.
Okay.
When it is trace class, it simplifies some math, especially in infinite dimensions. By not assuming it's trace class, the research tackles more general and often harder scenarios.
Right.
It means we have to be more careful defining things because we lose some simplifying properties.
So fewer assumptions means broader results, but tougher math.
Got it. Now, Schotter estimates came up. What are those about?
Schotter estimates are a really powerful tool in PDEs. They help prove that solutions to certain parabolic and elliptic equations have a very specific optimal level of smoothness measured in that Holder continuity we mentioned.
Okay.
They basically give precise control over the smoothness of the solution based on the smoothness of the inputs, like the equation's coefficients and boundary data. So they're like a high standard for proving just how smooth the PDE solutions are.
In many ways, yes. Mm. And to actually prove them, mathematicians often use concepts like interpolation spaces and theorems.
Interpolation spaces?
Yeah, these are abstract frameworks that help understand relationships between different ways of measuring smoothness, like a map connecting different regularity levels.
Okay, we've talked regularity in general, reaction diffusion, PDEs. But what about those degenerate cases you mentioned at the start? That still sounds a bit worrying.
Right, degenerate cases. Here, the diffusion operator loses a property called strict ellipticity.
Strict ellipticity, meaning?
Think of it as ensuring diffusion happens equally well in all directions. When it's degenerate, diffusion might be restricted to certain directions or weaker in some directions than others.
So the spreading isn't uniform anymore. It's limited.
Exactly. This lack of uniform spreading creates a whole new set of mathematical challenges. However, the research shows that even with this degeneracy, and even if the coefficients B and are still reasonably well-behaved, like Lipschitz continuous, we can still find unique solutions with continuous paths over time. And we can even get bounds on their statistical properties, like their average size.
So even then, things don't completely fall apart.
Right. And what's particularly interesting is that the solution can still be twice mean square differentiable, even in these degenerate situations.
Really? Even with restricted diffusion?
Yes, which is a significant and maybe non-obvious result. It suggests there's still a degree of predictable smoothness, even if diffusion isn't happening everywhere equally.
That's surprising. Now, the outline also mentions Kolmogorov equations in Hilbert spaces.
Yeah.
That sounds like we're going into the deep end of infinite dimensions now.
We are indeed venturing further into infinite dimensions. The Kolmogorov equations, both the backward parabolic one, 5.0.1, and the elliptic one, 5.0.2, are fundamental in studying stochastic processes. Here, they're considered in Hilbert spaces, which are a very general type of infinite dimensional space with concepts like distance and angle, like our usual space, but, well, infinite.
Right.
And the research shows the solution to the parabolic Kolmogorov equation links back to that transition semigroup PT again.
Ah, the evolution operator again.
Yes, reinforcing that central idea of probabilistic evolution over time.
And what are the key challenges working with these equations in Hilbert spaces?
Well, one crucial property they look at is when this object, DYTXQQ, becomes trace class in this infinite setting.
Trace class? Like assigning a size to operators in infinite dimensions?
Sort of, yeah. It's often essential for making sense of certain expressions. If it's not trace class, things can get ill-defined. The sources also mentioned Schotter estimates for the elliptic Kolmogorov equation here.
Even in infinite dimensions.
Yes, showing that even here we can still get insights into smoothness, though the techniques get more intricate.
So even in the vastness of infinite dimensions, there are ways to bring some mathematical order. Now, we've mostly assumed reasonably well-behaved coefficients like Lipschitz continuous. What if we relax that?
When coefficients are non-Lipschitz, the landscape gets significantly tougher. Uniqueness and regularity become much harder to establish.
I can imagine.
The Ornstein-Uhlenbeck system is mentioned as an example often studied in these more general non-Lipschitz cases.
Yeah.
And the Nimitzky operator, which relates to the non-linear parts of the equations and its properties, become really important for trying to understand the solution's behavior then.
It sounds like each time we relax a condition finite to infinite, non-degenerate to degenerate, Lipschitz to non-Lipschitz, it just peels back another layer of mathematical complexity.
Precisely. And finally, towards the end, our sources touch upon a fascinating connection to optimal control problems with stochastic systems.
Optimal control, trying to steer a random system.
Exactly. How does regularity play a role when we're trying to actively control a system with inherent randomness?
That makes sense. The smoothness of the system's behavior must matter for controlling it effectively.
Absolutely. The regularity of the value function, that's the optimal future cost.
Right.
And the optimal control strategy itself often critically depend on the regularity of the underlying SDEs and PDEs governing the system.
Okay.
The Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation, or HJB equation, which is central to optimal control theory, pops up here too. The properties of its solutions are closely tied to the regularity concepts we've been discussing.
So smoother systems lead to smoother value functions.
And potentially smoother, more implementable control strategies, yeah. A smoother system is often easier to manage.
So the mathematical niceness of the underlying system directly impacts our ability to effectively steer these random processes. It all really ties together.
It does indeed. So to kind of wrap up the threads of this deep dive, we've explored how the regularity of solutions to these stochastic partial differential equations, especially when we go infinite dimensional or hit degenerate cases, it's just a profoundly complex but incredibly important area of research.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a simple extension of what we know in finite dimensions.
And we've journeyed from the basic questions, do solutions even exist? Are they unique? To this deeper understanding of how smooth they are and what that smoothness means for applications like optimal control.
Exactly. And while there's no single easy answer, especially with infinite dimensions throwing curveballs,
right,
researchers have developed a truly impressive and always evolving set of sophisticated mathematical techniques, drawing from both probability and analysis to make real progress.
So for you, the learner, maybe take a moment to consider this. How might this seemingly abstract understanding, you know, the regularity of solutions in these very theoretical mathematical spaces, how might that ultimately shape our ability to model and predict incredibly intricate things in the real world?
Mm-hmm.
Think about everything from, say, chaotic fluid movements to the unpredictable swings of financial markets. These theoretical results, abstract as they seem, are constantly laying the groundwork for more applied research, maybe even new technologies down the line.
That's the hope. So is this deep dive into the fascinating overlap of stochastic analysis, PDEs, and their applications in areas like mathematical physics or finance has sparked your curiosity? Well, you now have a glimpse into where some really cutting-edge mathematical action is happening.